Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, but Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about, whatever I want to talk about. Reminds me of the, you ever see The Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler? It's a great movie because I love the 80s, right? I grew up as a kid in the 90s, so of course I was exposed to a lot of 80s music. I love The Wedding Singer, has a lot of great callbacks to the 80s. And Adam Sandler's one line, he says, "Well, I have a microphone and you don't, so you will listen to every word I have to say." That's a TV edit there. So I have the microphone and you don't. Now, of course, you have the choice to not listen to this episode, which is completely your freedom to do that. Have fun with that. But Free for All Friday today, I want to talk about live action adaptations of comic book movies, in particular, the DC movies. I grew up with a comic book shop down the street from me when I was a kid. So I've read Marvel, read DC, but I've always been partial to DC comics. I loved watching DC live action movies as a kid, you know, when they started up, like with Batman. We'll get into that here in a bit. So today I'll be ranking the DC comics live action movies, my favorite ones. And helping me to do that is the host of the Faith, Reason, and Geekdom podcast. So what I want to share with you is the interview that I did with them, where we talk back and forth about this topic. The host, Roger, and I both rank our five favorite DC films. So I hope that you get a big kick out of us geeking out about this, and that you will go and check out Roger's podcast, Faith, Reason, and Geekdom. So check it out.
I'm going to give my top five list. And then Trent, you give us your top five of DC live action movies. And we'll go from there. I know we're going to get into a lot of different things. I know my list might be different from your list. I know some people are going to like yell. They're going to be like in their car, like almost going to swerve. Like, how dare he put that before whatever? How dare he do that? We'll see.
Yeah. Wow. This opens up. It opens up the door a lot. But I think I can do this on the right here. Yeah. So, okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to start out with my number five. And it is the 2012 The Dark Knight Rises at number five. Now, again, you hear like Star Wars, a billion voices cry out to that. I know it's my top five.
You were raised in the darkness.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of lines.
Like, now Bane me here to talk about all this. Bane.
You know, you can't talk about The Dark Knight Rises without giving some Bane, right? You can't do that without doing the Bane voice. Yeah. Okay, so the reason why I like this is because, like, it to me, this is about consequences. This is the third of the trilogy, right? Christopher Nolan, Christian Bale, you have almost the whole cast returning. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is also added. You have a bunch of different people doing different roles. Stuff's going on after what's been 8 years, but this is about consequences from the previous films, the Harvey Dent stuff. It's about lies, right? All the lies that we tell, even if we think it's good. Chaos versus order. A longing for death. You have Bruce Wayne, who's just given up on life. He's given up. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gordon is being like consumed with the lies that he had to hide with. His family's even destroyed. And there's a lot of nihilism, especially Bane. Bane is just this nihilistic figure. And you see it in the whole Gotham, just very nihilistic. And the story is like Bruce Wayne has to like learn how to die to himself. He has to choose life. And at the end, we see that. And it reminds me of the battle with the shadow. Like Carl Jung has this quote that he says, like, to confront a person with his shadow is to show him his own light.
Right.
And I think this story has a lot of philosophical, religious elements, but also too, like, did you like the movie just as a regular movie?
Yeah, I liked Dark Knight Rises. It's always hard. The third movie in a trilogy, except for like with Toy Story, it's very hard to stick the landing on a third movie when you have Batman Begins and you have Dark Knight, which I'm sure is going to come up for us as we get later on here in the discussion. Yeah. But I liked it is hard. I did like it. The themes that you mentioned, I appreciated that. but I still don't think it rose to the level of the antagonist that we had in the previous film.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept getting distracted a little bit, thinking like, does Bane's plan really work? Like, it is hard. These movies, you have to suspend disbelief, and it's kind of walking on a tightrope to do that. But I would probably put that around in my six or seven. Now that I've gone back through the list here, most of the DCEU I have not enjoyed. So I would put Dark Knight Rises above nearly all of the DC EU content. So my number five is going to be Shazam.
Mm. I like that.
So
I like
that. Number five. And I like Shazam. Now I do have, I don't know if I should start with a nitpicky. Well, I liked it because, you know, it takes a character we're not as familiar with, Shazam / Captain Marvel, depending on when the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Whole controversy with that. But I thought Zachary Levi does a good job playing the older Shazam. And, I mean, it is a little weird. It's like normally in the comics and in the animated films, he has the same personality. Like in the movie, it's weird. His personality changes when he becomes Shazam. He's not like the same kid, but it's so fun. It is a fun movie. It has a mixture of almost like the movie Big mixed with Gremlins.
Yeah.
Mixed with older Superman. Like it's got like stuff that's for kids and stuff that's not for kids.
Yeah.
It's a little predictable, but overall it's fun. And it's one that I'd be willing to watch again. Like all these five, I'd be willing to watch again. Most of the DC live action, I would not be willing to watch multiple returns of. So that's why I would put Shazam. That it is definitely it is a fun film, but it's also got some hair raising moments to it, and I think it's a nice entry.
Yeah, I know when I was sitting in the movie theater, because all these movies I got to go to the big screen. I like got to go big screen and watch them. And I was there with my kid, my little, you know, have a little like 8-year-old or 4-year-old in there. I was like, well, that's going to give them nightmares. That one that scene, the demon scene.
Totally. Like, the boardroom scene. Yeah. I'm like, wow, we really crossed over from fun kid film here.
I was like, well, kids.
Yeah, back in the 80s, movies for kids weren't entirely
Poltergeist.
For kids, so I like that. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah, Poltergeist was like, this was PG.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I take it, you know, I know this isn't on our list, so I could kind of mention it real quick because I guarantee it's not. But so the little connection with the Black Adam, did you see that one? The new one?
You know, I did not. I've watched enough to know what it's about, but it is hard now when I know a movie is not going to be great. I just don't see it because I don't have the time to watch films anymore.
Right?
Yeah. So I just don't have time. It has to be really good for me to go and spend an hour and a half and watch it. And I just knew it'd be kind of a dud. And it was a dud.
Number four. Yeah. Coming in at number four is, and again, this is another one, my list, controversial. The 2022 The Batman, starring Bobby Patterson is what I call him. Bobby Pat. That's my nickname for him.
I didn't see it, so I've kept that lower on my list. It just seemed a bit too dark, and I've got kind of Batman fatigue.
Oh, okay. But that one's higher on your list, right, ranking?
It would be higher. It would be like in the top. I'm sure if I saw it, it'd be like in the top 10 for sure, but it didn't make my five.
Okay.
Also just because I didn't see it, and it just seemed like overly dark, and it's hard for me with all the Batman entries. Others are just going to... I do have two Batman films on my top five, so it'd be hard for another one to break in there.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it is dark. You talk about Shazam. Like, this is not like in the opening scene. It's very Zodiac, serial killer. It's a phenomenal villain. Like, just the Riddler, I thought he did really good, very creepy. Like, they got away with a lot. Like, I think this movie really pushed the envelope. When we look back at film analysis, it really pushed the envelope on like what you can get away with rated R. Cause I was like, wow, PG-13. And I liked about it. Cause of course we see it in the animated series, right? We see it in the animation. We see it in all the movies is, well, Bruce Wayne is not really him. It's Batman. But I think this movie really did it better than even the Bale ones about that. Cause Bale was a lot of, we saw his face a lot. He was a lot of Bruce Wayne, right? He was even played the billionaire part.
He was a good Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
He's just not a great Batman.
What are you talking about? Where are the drugs going?
But he does do Bruce Wayne actually very well.
And it was funny. I always laugh because that was one scene. Remember, I think it was in Dark Knight Rises. Where Selina Kyle takes off he talks to himself in his Batman voice. He's like, that's what it feels like. But nobody's around. It's like,
totally.
That's kind of weird. Remember that part? No, it was weird.
Oh, yeah.
someone's watching me.
Yeah. I'm not making a case for my number five at all. But the Batman, I like it because this really gets into the mask is him. He doesn't want to be outside of the mask. Like Robert Pattinson, the mask is him and he hates it. Whenever he has to take it off, he just loathes it. And I think the movie, you don't see him a lot as Bruce Wayne. He's mainly I could be wrong, but if they clocked it, he's probably the Batman that's been in the cowl the longest, you know, like that's just my guess. And yeah, it's also it's also about justice because you have Batman, well, vengeance, right? And then later on, but you had the Riddler played beautifully by Paul Dano, who's an amazing actor. Paul Dano is like, wow, just phenomenal, creepy. But they both want the same thing. They're both seeking justice in a sense. And so ask you kind of like the theological, philosophical, like what is justice, right? Like justice is to render one which is due, right? Like it really goes into it. And I love that deep, what is justice? Batman wants this way. And then the Riddler wants justice. He's like, yeah, I'm fighting corruption. I'm fighting all this stuff. So it's really good. And again, really, really dark. But I understand. I understand if you're like, it's too much Batman fatigue. So that was my number four. Trent Horn, what's your number four?
My number four is going to be Wonder Woman. So I'm going to put that there because I really enjoyed this film. My wife was like, I bet it's your favorite film. You know, my wife's funny when I watch it with her. She's like, my gosh, Gal Gadot is distracting, is what my wife always says when she watches it with me. But no, I liked it because it was a really cool. I love that it's a period piece. I love that it's a superhero film set in World War One. It's far from perfect.
You don't get that a lot. You don't get that a lot.
And so I really like, this is a good analog to Captain America, the First Avenger from Marvel. I think they do a good, and in fact, I think they do a better job of getting the period pieces right here in some respects. So I liked that. I liked the chemistry with her and Chris Pine. I think overall it has a nice arc and they do a good job where in a lot of the female led stories nowadays, it's Mary Sue, like the female protagonist is too perfect and she's not relatable. But Wonder Woman does have a flaw in this film, and that is she's naive. She's naive and overly optimistic. True. Where the film lands on its face is in the third act. It becomes just another big CGI battle. It would have really, if she had defeated Ares, but then the war continues, but she vows to still... you know, maybe she has to go away and then she'll come back for Justice League or something like that. For her to see that evil is something in men's hearts, but it doesn't define who men are. Something like maybe Chris Pine's sacrifice could have helped her to see, yes, there is evil in men's hearts, but it doesn't define who they are. And for her to have hope in them because of what he did, that would have stuck the landing better than just the big old fight at the end. But so she has a flaw. She is naive about human nature when she begins, and if she had painfully learned that lesson by the end, it would have been a good arc. But otherwise, I thought the action set pieces were great. I think when she emerges from the trenches in no man's land, and my wife was even like, I really like that, you know, she's fighting, but she's not, you know, she looks pretty, but she's not immodest. And like, my wife liked it all, and that she really puts herself out there for it. So yeah, overall, it's a good adventure piece. And if I had been running the DC EU back in the day, I would have led with Wonder Woman as like the first film. I would have led with Wonder Woman, and it's a period piece, and then returning to it all later. So that was my four.
Yeah, I remember in the movie theater as well. It's like me and my friend were laughing because we're like, everything's cool. It's like, CGI fight coming up and stuff like that, and then you see like the way Ares is and he changes. And we're like, okay, fine, put him back in the thing. Because when he was in his coat and like floating around, I was like, put him back in the monster thing. That looked better. Because I was like, it looks horrible. And then he went back to like, I'm just a guy in a coat and a must fly. I was like, put him back in the thing. I was like, it's bad, but it's not as bad as the other one. Wonder Woman's great. And I'm guessing you didn't see Wonder Woman 84 then, right? Oh,
I know exactly what happens in the film. Didn't bother to.
No, you're good. Don't ruin it. Because if you see it, you're like, what was the point of Chris? No, that's a good. Well, my number three is again another controversial one. It's like I've seen this movie so many times, and it's beautiful shot, like beautifully shot. And I think this is the reason why he was kind of given the mantle. as like, okay, now you're going to head the DCEU, you know, the one that's canon proper. Zack Snyder, the 2009's The Watchmen. And I've read the comic book, The Watchmen, yeah. You know, in the 80s. And so when I did, not in the 80s, but the one that came out in the 80s.
Yeah, and sure.
I think it's one of the best adaptations ever, like almost shot for shot, almost. They tweaked. I like that they actually tweaked the ending a little bit. I actually like the movie tweak.
Oh, yeah, because the original's what? Like the giant squid?
Yeah. And again, I get it. Like, I enjoyed it. But, like, the tweak now, you have Dr. Manhattan. Again, another dark movie. It's like, man, all my movies are... It's very dark. It's like...
Yes. You know,
I just love Billy Crudup as Dr. Manhattan. He was just so creepy and weird. And sometimes, that's how like I can get sometimes where I'm very dry and it's very like my wife's like, well, what do you think about, you know, just some random household thing? And I'm like, well, I get all like philosophical. I'm like, well, if you, and then like almost like Dr. Manhattan, stop being Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. So it's a really good movie. Rorschach. Like I hated the end. My heart broke at the end. Like, and they shot it, the music, the score from The Watchmen. The little weird little, and then the little pieces, the movie from the actual like clips, like Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Like I still laugh because I think of old school. Like every time I hear that song, I was like, old school with Will Ferrell. It's like, I got shot in the neck. When they show that funeral scene and it's playing, you have Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the comedian who's fantastic. Like I just love every day. I'm gonna go watch it right now. Matter of fact, after we're done, I have it on 4K.
Well, yeah, the beginning with what is it? Is it the John Denver song?
That was so beautiful. The montage.
Oh yeah, the montage at the beginning. Absolutely,
like all the little cool things. Yeah.
So was that your three?
That's my Watchmen? Number three. Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, 2009. Zack Snyder's Watchmen, his first endeavor into the DC for better or worse.
Some people. Yeah, it's very Snyderish. I did like that. I admit. It is a good film. There are many films that I will objectively say are good. I think some parts are a little over the top. I thought the Handel's Messiah scene, like, come on, Zach, come on.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's good, but it's not something that I would, is a favorite, is just like that. It is very dark and grim.
Yes.
And so that's why that or like Joker are not ones that will be favorites for me. Because I have to have, there can be dark elements to it, but it has to be a little bit more uplifting to be a favorite one that I would enjoy over and over. Though the one I put at my three, it was just dark, but it's not like really grim like those films, would be the 89 Batman film by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And so I like that because once again, I love period pieces and that is, and I loved Batman. One reason I like that is because I like Batman, the animated series from the mid 90s. And Batman the Animated Series, its setting is weird because it's like 1930s New York kind
of. You can't tell, like futuristic.
It's supposed to be like 1930s, but they have like futuristic technology and video screens. So it's a mix of the two. But I liked the period piece of like that kind of 1930s, 40s Gotham style, if you will, in the Burton film. And so I liked those stylized elements to it. I thought Michael Keaton does a really good Batman. I think he does. I'm Batman. Like he's not over the top about it. He also does a good Bruce Wayne. And we see that now, his ability to maintain alter egos. Like when you watch Spider-Man Homecoming, he does a great job as Vulture.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know, he does a good job playing those kinds of alter egos against each other. And so overall, I think Jack Nicholson makes for a really fun and good Joker, like coming off the who's the guy that did it in the 60s? Cesar Romero. Yeah. Like a more menacing Cesar Romero is basically kind of what he does. Like honestly, I've wanted to make a list of my top five superhero entrances. You know, like for example, like when Thor shows up in Infinity War. That's like maybe even number one or two. It's just amazing. He just shows up and it's just awesome. But one of my top five is going to be in the Tim Burton 89 film when Vicki Vale is at the art museum with Joker and he comes in, gasses everyone, messes up the place. And he goes boo, and like he scares her because she threw the water on his face and his face melts, yeah. Makeup melts off. And then you hear the music, da-da-da-da-da-da, and he crashes through the ceiling,
yeah.
Points the grappling hook at Joker, hang on. And then they just zoom away. Yeah. Now it looks sort of silly, flying, the goons are trying to grab him. But with the Danny Elfman theme and with all of that there and just the way he does the line, I still enjoy it after all of these years. So I'll put Batman 89 as my number three.
Well, it's your old pal, Jack. Yeah, Jack Nicholson totally. Is so great. You want to get nuts? He's Let's good. Get nuts. Like
That's
Barry
what I
Michael
mean. He's kind of he shows he's kind of crazy. And yeah. To be Batman, you have to be a little crazy.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I didn't like is, like, I guess now because we're spoiled by Hemsworth and Chris Evans and all the people and of course, Ben Affleck. But, like, his physique was not that. Of like Bruce Wayne, like Ben Affleck has the closest
sure. You
physique.
You have to. And I like Batfleck. You know, I do like the Ben Affleck Batman. I just didn't like how he was written into a lot of the previous films. That's why they haven't made the list. So,
yeah, but no, it's very much a classic Michael Keaton. But like my number two is, again, I think you mentioned something like this. So again, another controversial one, which I think, in my opinion, out of the live action DC, all of them, this is probably one of the most, to me, obviously, underrated film. And it's 2013's Man of Steel. I think it's almost a masterpiece. Yeah. And I've got to me, it's a masterpiece because, like, it's really, it's not really almost a comic book movie. It's like an alien first contact movie. Very sci-fi.
And I'll give you this with Man of Steel. It would still be close up in my list. It's one of the better of the DCEU films. I appreciate Man of Steel because it's the very first time we ever saw Superman unleash his full power in a live action film. It's the first time we like saw Kryptonians, like when they fight, like even when Superman is thrown into the train yard and all the trains just like crumple.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like. Like it's little things like that. I did not care for the battle for Metropolis. That it was more the battle over Smallville, where it's a bit smaller in scale, that you see the power of the punches from these people and the ineffectiveness of human weapons against them. So that I will give the movie credit in there. Superman finally got to really show more of his power because we have better effects and technology now.
I love the fight, and especially the opening of Krypton was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I was like, man, I want them to do a whole movie in Krypton. And of course, you know, Russell Crowe, just amazing job as his dad. And it's like General Zod, like I think he's one of the best villains. He's so menacing. You understand why he's doing what he's doing. He really believes what he's doing. But also too, the flaws of Henry Cavill, like he's not yet Superman. He makes a lot of mistakes. Like it's kind of like, I love that one scene with, of course, played by Kevin Costner. Great casting. I love that. Father Kent, Jonathan Kent, like it's just so amazing. But his dad, when he's like, he saves the bus, remember? And he's like, Superman or Clark Kent as a little kid, he's like, what should I have done? Should I let them die? And then
maybe you maniac. But I mean, I see the point that he's trying to make there. But I'll say my thoughts. I will tell you one thing, though. So here's an interesting Man of Steel will still be up there high. I don't like the Battle of Metropolis because I feel like it's a bit too much CGI and destruction. That's kind of overstated.
A lot of deaths.
that people, you don't need Superman and Lois making out, where like millions of people, probably at least hundreds of thousands, would have been killed.
Yeah. Superman, help us. He's like, not now.
Thousands would have been killed, been trapped in the rubble. Easily. But I will say this. I appreciate having that Battle of Metropolis and Man of Steel because it leads to one of my favorite DC scenes is in Batman v Superman. Now, I really don't like Batman v Superman. It's not a good film.
Have you seen the extended?
I have not seen it, but I can't imagine. There's so much I don't like about that film. But I will say this. I love the opening scene. I love the opening scene where it shows the battle over Metropolis from Batman's perspective. Now, I love that scene because I love when you can show Ben Affleck does a great job of being Batman without the suit.
Yeah.
That you see I love him. It. He is act in that scene, he is doing exactly what Batman would do without his suit.
Runs
because Batman
in there,
is not, not a suit. So he, you know, he runs in there, he drives through, he avoids the hazards, and he just dashes in, and you could see his utter contempt for Superman. And the reason why he would want to have a contingency plan to deal with a Kryptonian,
makes
seeing
sense,
all the devastation, but just seeing him be Batman without the suit, dealing with all this chaos. Now, they could have handled it better. Like the guy, he's going to Wayne Tower. He's like, Jack, get out of there. I'm like, just call him Lucius Fox. Who the heck is Jack? Just call him Lucius Fox or something like that. Like tie that together better. But so I appreciate Man of Steel for setting that up from what is my favorite scene. Not enough, though, to lift the movies higher for me.
So that's your, what was your number two? That was not
my
number.
Okay. So here's what's funny. So your number two is Man of Steel. My number two is Superman 2, the Donner Cut.
Oh, okay. The Donner
Cut.
My
number two is another Superman film.
Yeah.
But I still, much as I like a lot of the things in Man of Steel, Christopher Reeve will always be Superman to me. That he just embodies the hopefulness. Like when I say, who is Superman? Superman is the big blue Boy Scout. Henry Cavill is not the big blue Boy Scout.
No.
However they recast things. He seems awkward about it, what he tries to do. But Christopher Reeve is like a big blue Boy Scout.
Yeah.
And he just does it very well in those films. And the Donner Cut does a good job of getting away of this kind of the stupid comedy from Lester's cut of Superman 2. There's more Marlon Brando in it. Zod is more menacing.
Yeah, Zod's good.
The dynamic between Lois and Clark makes more sense to explain why he would give up his powers. I think it's one of the most humanized portraits of Superman and showing that you can do a really good Superman film. So I'm going to put Superman 2 Donner Cut. That would be my number two. Obviously it's hampered. You know, we don't have as, you know, modern technology, but if anything, that helps it to keep it from becoming spectacle. But it's got so many great lines, you know, to it. Kneel before Zod.
Oh, yeah.
Like I believe that General Zod still is more menacing from the original Superman versus, although he does do a good job in the Man of Steel. I still think he's a great villain from the original one.
And I'm torn. It's like, I love the Richard Donner Superman theme, the John Williams. I think it's the best, but man.
You know what's funny? It is like, you try to think of the Superman theme and the Indiana Jones theme, and it's like they're almost identical when you try to do it. Na, 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 and like, what's Indiana Jones? Dun, 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 dun. Like, oh, just like what, you're like one beat off. So
John Williams, I think one of the greatest composers.
And he's still at it. He's like 91 he's still composing.
Still performing. But Man of Steel, like the theme, I love it too. Like it's, if you can't have, of course, the dun, 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 you can't have that.
Oh, it's like, great. That is super.
Dun, dun,
to me, that's the Superman dun, theme. Dun, and the 89 Elfman. That is the Batman theme.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na.
For the animated series, because it's not the same. It's not the same, but they did base it off of that. Like, it's very, you listen to the animated in the 90s, and then you listen to Danny Elfman. It's very, the tone's clearly from that. You know, they have the, definitely. Absolutely. But Man of Steel, like, I'll listen to the score sometimes. Like, I like listening to scores. So Hans Zimmer is like, Dark Knight Rises might be favorite the score of the trilogy. Yeah. Like it's so like the undertone throughout the whole movie of the Dark Knight Rises. The Hans Zimmer, I loved it. So I guess that's our number one. I'm guessing it's gonna be the same.
Let's see.
I'm gonna take a wild guess, just throwing it out there. Mine is of course the 2008 Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Yeah, it's still gotta
is that
be
yours?
Like that, I mean, that was.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's interesting about The Dark Knight, and I think why it works. The Dark Knight is not a superhero film. The Dark Knight is a crime noir thriller. It is a good example of noir. So of those films that you would do from like the 1940s and 50s with the detective in the blind, you know, the shadows in his office with the blinds closed and trying to figure out the mystery and what's involved. You know, it's really a crime thriller, and you have just like the Joker's, and it's a good juxtaposition of Batman's sense of order and justice with Joker being a chaotic villain, that it's about order versus chaos. And so those elements all put together, I think it makes for a very engaging and gripping film that is dark, but not so overboding and dark that you feel just like awful after watching it. So it's good. My only complaints would be just like Christian Bale could work on his Batman voice a little bit, but otherwise, I think that it's. And here's what's nice about it. Because Batman Begins is a weird hybrid of trying to be like origin story, crime thriller.
Yeah.
But it's weird that like the setting, it feels almost like you're trying to overhaul. Like they did Batman Begins, it feels like they're trying to bring a little bit of the Tim Burton Gotham back.
Yeah.
Of kind of that older, I don't know how to just diesel, almost diesel punk quality of the older Burton films. And it all didn't mash as well together, where it's trying to be, the first half is like realistic. He goes to Mongolia and it's supposed to be modern age. And then Gotham feels kind of weird. Whereas yeah. I think Dark Knight, they're like, no, this is basically just modern day Chicago.
Yeah.
Modern day Chicago. It's corrupt. It's crooked. What would Batman do with this? I'm like, yeah. And it all worked.
Yeah. I think like, funny that you say that too, because I think one of the influences for the Batman Begins was Blade Runner. The director Christopher Nolan was like, look, the Blade Runner is an influence, had his film
yeah,
crew
and that's,
watch
and
it.
That's cyber, and that's it. Cyberpunk. So yeah. That's why I felt like I almost said diesel punk, because it some of it like with the fight on the elevated train and all of that. Yeah, it reminded me more of like the diesel punk genre. But you're right, it does feel cyberpunk, like a watered down cyberpunk. Yeah.
Yeah, everything is lights, but it's all grimy and dirty, but then futuristic-y and yeah.
That's quasi-futuristic-y, which has made it confusing to me. Whereas I like that Dark Knight is just, no, it's just a modern crime noir thriller.
It almost feels like it's a different movie, The Batman Begins versus Rises and The Dark Knight. And I mean, beautifully shot. Like I also think Dark Knight Rises has beautiful shots and stuff, but like The Dark Knight, that one shot after the rubble, where Batman is like this, it's mini posters too. He's just standing there's like a blue hue and he's just standing there in the Harvey Dent coin. Like the shots are just amazing. And the cinematography in there, I really love it. The way it holds on certain angles, the whole China, when he breaks into the window and he's like on top of the building and flies, like it's awesome. Like I saw
that is pretty cool. Yeah.
In IMAX. Did you see that in IMAX, the movie?
Oh, I don't think I saw it in IMAX, but I mean, I saw it in films for sure, in theaters for sure.
Yeah, me too. I saw it in theaters and I was like, oh man, this is like, is there another perfect movie? Like, I don't know if it'll ever get beat. Like, I thought, you know, oh, maybe The Batman will come close. And I love The Batman, you know, the new one, Rob Pattinson. But I was like, nah, Dark Knight, it's still there. There's so much big set pieces, the car chase. Right, it's so funny when he's gonna need something bigger, and then the Joker like keeps bringing up something.
Yeah, come on, hit me.
Yeah, exactly. There's so, and I remember reading about Heath Ledger he used to take this like journal, and he used to write in the journal like he's the Joker, like really get into character. And he even frightened Michael Caine, who this is Michael Caine. He served in the British Army. He's been around for a long time. And, Michael Caine. And Michael Caine like said that even when he saw Heath Ledger in the makeup, full Joker, all the aesthetics, like he actually got scared. Mm-hmm. Like there's a tangerine, Michael Caine. And that's my Michael Caine, just saying his name over. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, it's you to say that in his, you have to say my cocaine. So my cocaine.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
But it's so awesome. And then too, it's like Christian Bale, he slimmed down a little bit for The Dark Knight, but he's still fit. Like he wasn't as big as he was in Batman Begins, but he's still muscular and very much athletic. And this movie, it's just so amazing. It was even that scene with might be one of the famous scenes as well. There's so many, but the interrogation in the police station.
Yeah, it's a great face-off. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he shows up there. It's a good psychological face-off between them.
Allusions to The Killing Joke. There's a scene in the beginning of the comic book that he goes in and like Joker's in a shadow and they're both sitting across from each other in interrogation. So I like that it was especially the Long Halloween. Especially that there's even that one scene in the comic book where Harvey Dent before Two-Face, he's with Commissioner Gordon and Batman, and they're three on the rooftop talking. And that's literally just, they just used the same thing too in The Dark Knight. So that's my number one. Wow. Yeah, so I guess if you can go through your list again, one more time to recap, I'll recap mine. So yeah. Again, there's a lot of controversial ones, but my number five favorite DC live action is number five, The Dark Knight Rises.
Perhaps he was wondering why you would shoot a man before throwing him out of the plane.
It had to have one more. There had to be like one more Bane, one more
totally.
Bane talk. Number four, The Batman 2022's with Bobby Pat. Number three, 2009's The Watchmen. My number two, Man of Steel 2013. And my number one, of course, 2008's The Dark Knight. What's yours, Trent Horn?
Yeah, and you know what? That's so funny because mine has the lighter elements to it. And this is not me saying like necessarily what's best. I'm just saying what are my favorites.
Yeah.
And so my favorites are number five is Shazam. Number four is Wonder Woman. Number three is the 89 Batman Burton directed. Number two, Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut.
Yes.
Not original Superman 2, the Donner cut. And number one, The Dark Knight. So I think it's interesting. I think I'm only like 2 years older than you. But I think that I still, I don't know, maybe I'm connected a little bit more to that geriatric millennial base. We might have just the slight generational gap between us for you to favor some of the more recent films, perhaps.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to check out Roger's podcast, Faith, Reason, and Geekdom. He's had a lot of other great guests on there. If you want to geek out, talk about Catholicism and also fun pop culture stuff, definitely go and check them out. Faith, Reason, and Geekdom podcast. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.